Good morning, everyone. We'll commence our time of worship by singing together the hymn number 114 in your hymn book, the hymn number 114 on the page number 222. Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah. Sons of men and angels, say hallelujah. Raise your joys and triumph. Sing hallelujah. Sing ye heavens, thou earth reply. Hallelujah. Tremendous hymn of great truth, reminding us that our Savior is alive and alive forevermore. The hymn number 114 on the page 222, standing as we sing, and let us sing it out heartily unto the Lord.
Sons of men and angels, sing.
we just unite our hearts together, please, in prayer. Our loving God, our gracious, eternal Father in heaven, we draw nigh to thee the Sabbath morning through no merit of our own. But Father, we come upon redemption ground. We come in and through the name and through the merits of Christ, our Redeemer, the only Redeemer of sinful man, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And Father, we thank thee for Christ coming into this world. We thank thee for his advent. We thank thee, Father, for that perfect life of Christ, that he was without spot, without blemish. And Father, we thank thee that he became our sin bearer on Calvary's tree. We thank thee that there upon that middle cross, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Father, we thank thee for the healing virtue of the blood of the Lamb, that blood that was shed freely for our redemption. And we rejoice, O God, today in the forgiveness of sins and cleansing from our sins by that precious shed blood. We rejoice today in the great truth of the gospel, that the Bible declares that the blood of Jesus Christ, thy Son, that it cleanseth us from all sin. And Father, we thank thee today that it is a finished work, that Christ cried out, it is finished, that he offered himself without spot unto God. And Father, we thank thee, though he died and was laid in the tomb, even as we have been singing, that he rose again triumphant the third day, and that he is alive forevermore, never ever to die again. And Father, we thank thee for the great hope of the believer in Christ, that because he lives, we shall live also. We thank that Christ could say, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And Father, we thank thee today for the victory that is ours in Christ through the blood of the Lamb. We thank thee for pardon for sin and peace with God. We thank thee, Father, for the riches of thy grace that is sufficient for every need. And Father, we thank thee that in Christ we have won, that gives us victory over the grave, over death, over hell, over sin, and that through Jesus Christ and through knowing him as Savior, one day we shall be with him in heaven forevermore and be like Christ forevermore. For he said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And Father, we just return thee thanks today for the blessing of the Lord's day. Father, bless our coming together here in thy house. We pray, Lord, that each one of us will be very conscious of thy nearness, of thy presence, thy speaking voice to our hearts. We thank thee for all you have gathered with us today. And Lord, our faces would differ, so do our needs. But, O God, we're coming to thee today, who is altogether sufficient to meet our every need. Bless every believer in Christ in this meeting house today. Encourage thy people, strengthen every Christian in our gathering, in their faith, and in their walk with God. Do draw us closer, Lord, to thee. Do wean us more and more away from self, from sin, and from the ways of this ungodly world. Help us to be conformed more and more unto the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, that others would take note that we have been to the Savior, that we belong to the Lord. For any today who may be cold at heart, give that restoring, quickening grace. And for others who may be going through times of trial or difficulty, Lord, strengthen them out of Zion, we pray. May they know that underneath and all around are the everlasting arms of the Savior. For others who have suffered loss even in recent times, may they know the comforting hand of the Lord to be upon them and to be their portion. Father, we thank thee for each one gathered today. We thank thee for our Sabbath school that is just finished. Bless the boys and girls who have heard your word, that early in life each one of them will come to know the Lord as Savior. Remember again the work of Bethel Children's Crusade. We thank thee for all the meetings last week, all the boys and girls who heard thy word. And Father, we again would pray through this witness we ask, that many children here in this community will not only hear the gospel, but they will come to put their faith and trust in the Lord for salvation. Father, we're mindful of those today unable to be with us because of age and sickness and infirmity. Father, thou who art the great physician, draw near, O God. Do lay on thy healing hand, we ask of thee. Those that are ill in hospital at this time, may they know that touch from the Lord. And Lord, give help and healing and strength and grace, O God, that comes from thyself, we pray. Remember all our homes and all our families, we ask. Bless every family circle here represented, we pray. Now do, Lord, unite our family circles in the Lord. And where there are particular needs, we pray of thee, by the grace and power of God, that the Lord would meet every need, we pray. Remember, O God, our land today, O God. We pray for all our sister congregations, for every minister, student, and layman who will minister thy word. May they know the help of God. And Father, wherever thy word is faithfully proclaimed today, up and down the length and breadth of our land and our nation, north and south of the border, Father, we do pray for definite signs following the preaching of thy word, that many not only will hear thy word today, but many will come to know the Lord as Savior. We think of our missionaries today at home and abroad. Lord, bless them, minister to them, and encourage them greatly in the Lord. We do pray for thy persecuted people today. Many who cannot meet in public fashion like this must meet in secret. Lord, bless them especially. Minister to them and protect them and meet their every need. We pray again for the land of Ukraine and Israel, Lord, that there might be that peace in that land that comes through knowing and trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Bring to naught the works of evil and ungodly men, we pray. And Father, we pray for our own land and our nation, that we might see days of revival and reformation. Have mercy, Lord, upon our royal family. We pray that the light of thy truth and the gospel will shine into that household, that they might be made wise unto salvation. And those who rule in our land, O God, work in their hearts, we pray. May they realize the responsibility to rule in accordance with thy word. Instead of a setting aside of thy word, Lord, may there be an embracing of the word of God, even by those in authority in our nation, O God, we pray. Father, again, we just thank thee that thou art upon the throne today. Thou hast said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Again, we thank thee for the mission that has passed, and Lord, for the seed sown there in Lisbalaw. And Father, we pray that there'll be a bountiful harvest, even from that time of sowing, even in the days that lie ahead. Bless us now, we pray. Close us in, Lord, with yourself. Do every heart good. Tune our hearts today to sing thy praise. To take our eyes off ourselves and of our circumstances. Fix our eyes upon the Lord. We think of thy disciples of old, how thy word says the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And Father, we pray today that there'll be that gladness, that joy in all our hearts through seeing the Lord afresh. He is the one who is altogether sufficient for our every need. Give help now, we pray, as we further sing thy praises, as we read thy word, and then as we come to the preaching of the word of God. We pray for that definite help and enablement that comes through God the Holy Spirit. Bless thy truth to all our hearts, for we pray and we ask all these things in the Savior's name, and for his eternal glory and praise we pray. Amen.
We're going to turn again, please, in our hymn book to the hymn number 396 in your hymn book. The hymn number 396, Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me save that Thou art. Thou my best thought by day or by night, waking or sleeping, Thy presence my light. 396 will stand again as we sing.
Thank you.
have your Bible with you this morning, I'd ask you to turn, please, to the book of the Psalms, to the Psalm number 23 for our reading, Psalm number 23, and then turning back, please, to Nehemiah chapter 3. I want to read one verse with you from that chapter, and it is the verse number 13. But we'll read, first of all, from Psalm 23. You'd like to mark both those passages in your scripture, and then turning back to Nehemiah chapter 3. Let us hear God's precious word as we read it together this morning. Psalm 23 and the verse number 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And then turning back to Nehemiah chapter 3, the third chapter of Nehemiah, and just one verse there to read it is the verse number 13 of Nehemiah chapter 3. The valley gate repaired Hanun, and the inhabitants of Zanoah, they built it. And they set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. 1,000 cubits on the wall unto the dung gate. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 13, praying God will add his own blessing to this public reading of his eternal and infallible word to all our hearts. At this stage of our meeting, want to welcome everyone this Lord's Day to God's house. It's good to see all who have gathered with us here today, young and old alike. We pray God will richly bless you today around God's word. And if you're visiting with us, we extend you a very special welcome. I trust that you'll feel at home. It's always a joy to visitors to share in our fellowship. Nice to see our brother George with us from Canada as well at this time. And our prayers the Lord will bless each one who's gathered here today. And to those that are listening in online as well, we thank you for joining with us today. And we pray that the Lord will richly bless you. The announcements for the week are as follows. Do please remember the evening prayer meeting tonight at 6:30. And if you can come for that time of prayer, we'll be delighted to see you. The gospel meeting tonight at 7 p.m. And we belong to bring God's word. Pray for that meeting. I plan to join with us and invite and encourage others in. And our sister, Mrs. Grace McClintock, will be with us to sing also in the gospel this evening. So do remember that, please. Tuesday night, 8 p.m., our midweek prayer meeting, and it will be Bethel Children's Crusade Report by our sister, Mrs. Gillian Moore, and box opening. I suppose it's been a wee while since there's been one, so with one thing of another, but do remember that, and our sister Gillian, God willing, bringing the report and the update on Bethel Children's Crusade. Do you remember the children's meetings this week? 6:30, Tuesday night, Tresna, Wednesday night, Lisbalaw, Thursday night, Maguire's Bridge, Friday night here in Bethel. Friday night here in the church, 8 p.m., is the Youth Fellowship. It's the West Youth Night of Prayer. Encourage all the young people to come along and invite and encourage others in as well for that time of fellowship on Friday night. Next Lord's Day, the 24th of March, Sunday School and Bible Class at 11 a.m. Morning worship service, 12 noon, preceded by the half hour of prayer. And then the evening prayer meeting, 6:30. And then the gospel service at 7 p.m. Do remember that next Lord's Day evening will be a special family and friends night service. God willing, our sister, Mrs. Julie Omerod from Cumber, will be with us to testify of God's saving grace in her life. Not only God's saving grace, but God's sustaining grace. Just over 10 years ago, she lost her husband very suddenly. And she'll be coming just to share with us how the Lord has sustained her and helped her by his grace and power. So do remember that. There are wee invitations for that. We encourage you to take those and give them out to friends and family and invite and encourage others in under the sound of God's word next Lord's Day evening. A family member, a friend, a neighbor, somebody you work with, whatever, do all you can to invite and encourage them along. Do please remember the Easter Convention services in the Martyrs Memorial Free Presbyterian Church, Friday night, the 29th of March, a youth rally at 8 p.m. The preacher there is Reverend Timothy Nelson. All young people are welcome. Saturday night, 7:30 p.m., the missionary rally. The preacher there is Dr. John McKnight from America. And then on Monday, the 1st of April, 7 p.m., the convention concludes. Again, our brother, Dr. John McKnight, will be along to preach God's Word. Remember those meetings and do go along, if at all possible, and support them on those occasions. This coming Thursday night, the 21st of March at 8 p.m. in our Tandragee Church is the graduation service for the Whitfield Christian Workers Training Academy. The preacher there is the Reverend Timothy Nelson. There's a number from our own church graduating, God willing, on that occasion. So pray for that meeting. If at all possible, do go along and support it. Do remember also Kotskiri Christian Independent Christian School, Saturday morning, the 30th of March, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. There's a coffee morning and cake sale there in the school. Do please remember in your prayers our brother Mr. Keith Ferguson in prayer. He's ill in hospital due to a stroke, so remember him in your prayers, and his wife Muriel and family. It's the midst of the lambing season as well, that the Lord God's help and grace at this time of great need and anxiety. Do please remember also Colin and Noel today as they commence a one-week gospel mission up in our church in Lawrence. So do remember these matters, please, in your prayers. And that's really all by way of necessary announcements. We're turning again in our hymn book to hymn number 351. The hymn number 351 in your hymn book. We don't take up an offering, but do remember the offering plates as you leave. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. 351 on the page 318. We'll keep our seats while we sing the early part of this hymn. remainder of the hymn. Turn again, please, to that passage of scripture we read earlier, to Nehemiah chapter number 3. Just for the benefit of those that are visiting with us in recent weeks, we've been looking at the book of Nehemiah, the lessons in particular from the different gates of Jerusalem. Today we want to just look at the valley gate that is mentioned even in our text today in Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 13. But we'll just unite together in a brief word of prayer. Father, bless us now as we come to consider thy precious and thy holy word. We thank that thy word is forever settled in heaven, that thy word is truth. And Lord, as we come to consider what thou would have to say to us today, give us open hearts. Give us minds that are open to the word of the Lord. May thy word find a resting place in every heart and every soul in this meeting. May it be used to the strengthening, the encouragement, the building up of every child of God in the things of God, in their faith and in their walk with God. May it be used to restore the backslidden, we ask of thee. May it be used, O God, to awaken and to bring the sinner, the unconverted, to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Undertake now, give us help to preach thy word. Fill me afresh with the Holy Ghost and with power. Give right words that come from thyself. Give liberty, clarity of mind, plainness of speech. Let nothing be said that is not of thee. Hide man far behind the cross and exalt and magnify our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we do pray and do ask all these things. Amen. Our text for today is Nehemiah chapter 3 and the verse number 13. The valley gate repaired Hanun, and the inhabitants of Zenoa, they built it, and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof, and 1,000 cubits on the wall unto the dung gate. Now it has often been said that the Christian life is likened unto a roller coaster, with the twists and turns along the way and the ups and downs along the journey. Yes, in life, yes, there can be many valleys, indeed many trials for the believer to pass through. The hymn writer acknowledges this very fact, for speaking of the coming of the Lord, they said there will be no dark valley when Jesus comes. And we are reminded of this very same truth through the words of our text today, Nehemiah chapter 3, where it says, the valley gate repaired Hanun and the inhabitants of Zenoa, and they built it, and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof, and 1,000 cubits on the walls unto the Dung Gate. This verse there makes mention of the Valley Gate. And it tells us about this particular gate, the Valley Gate, being repaired in the day of Nehemiah, the servant of the Lord. This Valley Gate was located in the southwestern corner of the walls of Jerusalem. And it opens onto the Valley of Hemon. And that valley really encircles Jerusalem from west to the south of the city. Indeed, this is the gate where Nehemiah himself began his night inspection of the walls of Jerusalem shortly after his arrival into that city on this occasion. Go back to chapter 2 and verse number 13, you'll see that. He says, I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, and to the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem which are broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. And with this inspection, you see here how Nehemiah is greeted with a scene of destruction, an awful desolation. The walls are broken down and in ruins. And this, no doubt, was undoubtedly a valley experience for Nehemiah at that particular time. If you go back to the opening chapter of this book and to the verse number 4, that verse there tells us how Nehemiah weeps certain days when he hears of what has happened at Jerusalem and the awful desolation of the city. It says, and it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Yes, dear people, from the repairing of the Valley Gate, yes, you and I are reminded of trials and indeed valley experiences in the life of the Christian, in the life of the child of God. And today, as we would consider this lesson of trials and valley experiences in the Christian life from the Valley Gate that is repaired in our text before us, there are a number of thoughts I want to leave with you, and I trust, child of God, it will be encouragement to you today, believer, as you and I also would go through the valley experiences and the trials of life. Notice, first of all, here with me today, the certainty of trials and valley experiences for the believer. My speaking to his disciples in the Gospel of John, Christ says, in the world ye shall have a tribulation. Also speaking of the Christian life, the Puritan writer and preacher Richard Sibbes says, God promises no immunity from crosses. And in this life, yes, you and I as Christians have many trials to deal with. We have many valleys to pass through. What are those valleys? What are those trials? Well, there is the trial of death. Psalmist David spoke of that very fact in the psalm that we read earlier, in Psalm number 23 and the verse number 4. When he says there, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And friends, today, because of Adam's fall into sin, we must all face death should the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ tarry. The Bible says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And after death in this life, yes, there is judgment. Judgment for the sinner in a lost eternity in hell. Judgment for the ungodly, the person who dies unsaved in their sin. After this life, when death comes, there is judgment for them in the lake of fire, that place of eternal punishment and judgment for sin for all of eternity. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Dear friend, in our meeting this morning, let me say this, that if you're still unsaved, you need to prepare for death. You need to prepare for eternity. And the way for you to prepare for death and the way for you to prepare for eternity is for you to come as a repentant sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ, to repent of your sin, to acknowledge your need as a lost, guilty sinner before Almighty God, and come by faith alone to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of sinners, and depend upon Him alone and upon His shed blood alone on Calvary's cross for the cleansing away of your sins. You remember the question put by the Philippian jailer of old to Paul and Silas. He said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And when he asked that question, he was concerned that day about death, his own death. When he asked that question that day, he was concerned about eternity, where he would spend eternity, how he would be right with God, how he'd be delivered from the wrath to come and be sure of heaven. Well, let me ask, have you ever asked that question yourself? What must I do to be saved? Is that the question upon your heart, upon your soul? Unsaved friend at our meeting today, friend, I urge you, I plead with you to repent of your sin. The Bible says, repent ye and believe the gospel. Come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust in him. And praise God, when you trust him as Savior, the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. The Bible declares the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. My, when you trust him, God will forgive your sins. He'll bring you into his family. And he'll prepare you for death. He will prepare you for eternity. And dear people in our meeting today, young and old alike, should the coming of the Lord tarry, the valley of death is a valley we'll all have to deal with. We will all have to pass through. Tell me, are you prepared for that valley? The Bible says, prepare to meet thy God. If you're not prepared, make that preparation now today. It's urgent. The Bible says, today if you'll hear his voice, harden not your heart. Yes, there's the valley of death, the trial of death. But then there's also, we can say further, there's the valley and the trial of sickness itself in life. Yes, God's faithful people can be sick and can be beset by bodily illnesses. Turning your Bible over to Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2. And here we read about a man by the name of Epaphroditus. He was a fellow missionary with the Apostle Paul, faithful in the work of the Lord, one whom Paul himself highly commended. As he writes here to the church at Philippi, Philippians chapter 2 and verses 25 to 27 of the chapter, he says, "Yet I supposed it necessary to send you to Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all, and was full of heaviness, because that ye had heard that he had been sick." And then look at the next verse. It says, "For indeed he was sick," it says, "nigh unto death." Here is this man Epaphroditus, a faithful Christian. And Paul says he was sick nigh unto death. He was going through the valley, the time of sickness, bodily ailment, and bodily infirmity. There are many abroad today, especially within the charismatic movement, and they would say that a Christian should never be sick or ill. Well, that teaching is unscriptural. That teaching is unbiblical. Yes, there's the valley of sickness, of illness, the valley of death. We can say something else as we think about the valley experiences of life today. There is the valley and the trial of loneliness in the life of the Christian. Yes, our circumstances and life change. Nothing stays the same. Children leave the home. Death takes away a loved one. A seat is empty in the home, and we feel lonely. We feel alone. But people, when that happens, when that comes away, remember this, that our Savior himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, experienced this very same loneliness. For remember him as he went to the cross. What does the Bible say about him? And going to the cross, it says this, all the disciples forsook him. Every single one of them forsook him at the cross. And not only did his disciples forsake him at the cross, his heavenly Father, God the Father, forsook him as he hung and suffered and bled and died upon the cross of Calvary for sinners. For when he took upon himself the guilt of our sin and became our sin bearer, what did Christ cry out on the cross? He says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He knew what it was to be forsaken. The Bible speaks of Christ and says the Son of Man had not where to lay his head. Oh, Christian, when you feel alone and feel lonely, remember this, that your Savior is touched with that very infirmity. For he knew what it was to be forsaken and to be alone here on earth. And then we can say further, there's also the trial and the valley experience of opposition and persecution when we faithfully witness for Christ and seek to serve the Lord here on earth. The Bible says, yea, all that live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. In this world, every single one of us who are saved, we have a cross to bear. You remember the words of Peter writing to the Christians of his day in a time of persecution for their witness for the Lord. He said these words to them. He says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. Yes, you and I were not to think it strange when trials come. And when we walk through the valley experiences of life, don't count it a strange thing, dear child of God. It is something that comes the way of all God's people in this earth, in this scene of time. Yes, the certainty of trials and valleys for the believer, but not only the certainty of trials and valleys for the believer. Notice secondly today in connection with our text and the subject, notice the reaction of the believer to the trials and the valley experiences of life. What is the believer's reaction to trials and valleys when they come our way? Well, in the trials of life and the valley experiences of life, yes, God's people can react. And they can react in two different ways, in two different manners. One reaction, one way which is the wrong reaction, is to resist God, to rebel against God, and to turn away from God, and to blame God, and to blame his people. Sadly, this is what many of the children of Israel did on their journey through the wilderness to the promised land when they came to that place which is called Rephidim. And the Bible says there was no water. And the children of Israel, they turned away from the Lord. They murmured against the Lord and his servant Moses on that occasion. Turn in your Bible back to Exodus chapter 17, and you'll see that for yourself. Exodus chapter 17. Look at the opening verses of that chapter. It says, and all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin. After their journeys, notice it, according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim. And notice what it says then, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do you tempt the Lord? The people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is it that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And people, that's not what we are to do in the trials of life. We're not to rebel against God. We're not to resist God. We're not to blame God or his people when trials and battles and valleys come our way in life. Rather, child of God, we are to do the very opposite. We are to cleave to the Lord in the trials of life, in the valley experiences of life. We're to run to the Lord, not run away from the Lord or the things of God, but rather run to the Lord, cleave to the Lord, stick to the Lord, as it were, like glue. Turning your Bible over to Psalm number 61, and you'll see how this was so with David the psalmist. Psalm number 61, and look at how he opens up this psalm, and it was a time of great trial for David, but it's here as an example for us to follow as Christians. Psalm 61 in the verse number 1, he says, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. Here he is before the Lord in his time of trial. And he says, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. Notice it, when my heart is overwhelmed. David was absolutely overwhelmed at this time. Such was his need. But he says, when my heart is overwhelmed, he says, lead me to the rock. And who's the rock? It is Christ. He says, "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for thou hast been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings." What a lesson, what a testimony, what an example for you and I as Christians. When we are overwhelmed in the trials of life, in the valley experiences of life, let us flee to the rock, Christ Jesus, the rock of our salvation, who is our all in all. You remember what Nehemiah did whenever he was being hindered, when he was rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem? He prayed to the Lord. He says, "Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God." Again, you think of the three Hebrew children when they were being threatened with being cast into the fiery furnace because of their faithful witness for the Lord. They trusted in the Lord for deliverance. They said, "Our God whom we serve is able to deliver us." You remember whenever Simon Peter's mother-in-law was sick and ill, they sought the Lord for help, it says, and they besought him for her. They looked to the Lord. They ran to the Lord. They brought their case and their condition and their situation to the Lord. Am I speaking to a believer today, and you're in the midst today of some dark valley experience in your life, some trial that you're going through at this particular time? Believer, remember this, the Bible says God is a very present help. He's a very present help in trouble. Look to the Lord for help. Maybe it's concern today over a wayward loved one. Well, child of God, keep praying on. Keep praying on for their salvation. Keep praying on for their restoration. Whatever the need, remember this, child of God, the Lord is able. He is the Lord God Almighty, El Shaddai. Turn your Bible over to Ephesians chapter number 3. Ephesians chapter number 3. And look there just at this great promise. Remember this, believer, in your valleys, in your trials, whatever they are. Ephesians chapter 3 and the verse number 20, it says of the Lord, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to that power that worketh in us." He is able. Remember that, dear Christian. He is able. We are not able. Man is not able. But the Lord is able. The Lord is almighty. It was William Carey who said that one with God is a majority. Child of God, always remember that God, the Bible tells us and teaches us, he's the God of the hills. Yes, he is the God of the hills. But he's not only the God of the hills, he's the God of the valleys. For he changes not. He says, "I am the Lord, I change not." The certainty of trials and valleys in the life of the Christian, the reaction of the believer to the trials and the valleys of life. Notice, thirdly this afternoon, notice the blessing of trials and valleys in the life of the Christian. Always remember this, child of God, whatever the trial is, whatever the valley is, God has a blessing for you and I as Christians in the valley, in the trial, whatever it is. James 1 verse 12 says this, it says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation." That speaks of God's blessing. Think again of the words of Paul in Romans 8 verse 28, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." And again, that speaks to us of the blessing of God in the trials of life, in the battles of life, in the valleys of life's experience. We might well ask the question today, what are some of those blessings? Well, we can say that trials and valleys, they bring you and I into the blessing, dear people of God, of humility. They bring us into the blessing of humility. In John chapter 15, verse 5, Christ says there, "Without me, ye can do nothing." And what do trials do? What do valley experiences do? They humble us as Christians. They cause us to see our own weakness as Christians. They cause us to see our own helplessness as Christians, and that we need the Lord's help in the situation before us. The Bible says, "For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble." And my to be low at the feet of Christ is to be in the place of blessing. And that's where we want to be day by day as Christians, to be at the feet of Christ. To be low at the feet of Christ, child of God, is the place of blessing. There's a blessing of humility. But we can say further today that trials and valley experiences, they bring to us the blessing of purity. They purify our faith as Christians. Turn in your Bible over to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, and go down to verse number 7. And just look at this verse in particular. Peter is writing to Christians going through a time of fiery trial, and it was for the purifying of their faith. And he brings that out here in verse 7 of 1 Peter chapter 1. He says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. As Peter there talks to these Christians about the trial of their faith, he brings in the picture of gold being purified. For gold to be purified, it must be put into a heated fiery furnace. A fiery furnace that is heated very intensely, and when it is heated to liquid form, the impurities of the gold, they rise to the surface as dross, and they are removed, and the gold that is left is allowed to solidify and becomes pure. Well, through the fiery trials of life, what does the Lord do with you and I as Christians? He purifies our faith. And people, our faith needs purifying as Christians. He purifies our faith from sin, and he weans us away from the dross of the world and depending upon the things of this world as Christians. It was Thomas Watson who said that affliction is God's flail to thresh off our husks. In other words, the husks of sin and worldliness in our lives are removed and purified and taken away by trials, by afflictions, by valleys that come our way. There's the blessing of humility, the blessing of purifying our faith. Another blessing that comes through trials and valley experiences is the blessing of divine strength and divine enablement. Turn in your Bible back to 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verses 7 to 10. Here's the words of the Apostle Paul, and he tells us this, of how in his valley he received divine strength, and he rejoiced in this. He says in verse 7 of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he says, "Unless I should be exalted above measure," again, it was to keep him at the feet of Christ. "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ," the strength of Christ, the help of Christ, "that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." He says, "For when I am weak," he says, "then am I strong." He thanked God for the trials, the thorn in the flesh. And Paul was a man who walked with God, yet he had this thorn in the flesh. We don't know what it was. There's all sorts of speculation. The Bible doesn't tell us what it was. But it was there to keep him lowly at the feet of Christ. But also in his trial, he received the strength of God, and he rejoiced in this. He says, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather take pleasure in mine infirmities. For when I am weak," he says, "then I am strong." He proved the strength of the Lord. And dear Christian, When you and I face our trials and go through valleys depending on the Lord, then our faith also will be strengthened. Christian, your faith will be strengthened. Does not the Bible say, as our days, so shall thy strength be? Turn back to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, and there's a tremendous verse here, Christian, will encourage you in your trial, in your valley experience of life. Look at verse 29 of Isaiah chapter 40. It says there of the Lord that he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might. He, that's the Lord, El Shaddai, he increaseth strength. There's strength for you, Christian, in the valley, in the trials of life. One final blessing, and it is this. We can say further, the trials and the valley experiences, that they bring to us, people, the blessing of the Lord's presence and the blessing of the Lord's nearness. Listen to what the Lord says to his people in Psalm 91 and the verse number 15. He makes this word, this promise. He says, I will be with him in trouble. Speaking there of his child. I will be with him in trouble. Again, listen to what the Lord says in Isaiah 43 in the verse 2. He says, when thou passest through the waters, he says, I will be with thee. What a promise. You think of Joseph, whenever he was sold as a slave into Egypt, when he was wrongly blamed for something that he hadn't done and ended up in prison. What does the Bible say about Joseph? Twice over, you read these words. It says, but the Lord was with him. The Lord drew near. He knew the nearness of the Lord. You remember the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. They went in as three. But when old Nebuchadnezzar looked into the furnace, he saw four men loose walking in the fire. Who was the fourth? Their Savior, the Son of God. Turn back to Daniel chapter 3 and the verse number 25, and you read that for yourself. Mark it in your Bible. Nebuchadnezzar was an ungodly man. And he looked into the fiery furnace. He'd cast in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And look at verse 25. It says, and he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. The Lord drew near. The Lord was with them in the fire. I remember some years ago hearing a brother in the Lord giving a personal word of testimony. He'd been going through a time of deep trial, deep bodily affliction, severe sickness, hospitalized for a long period of time, trouble and difficulties in the home and the family circle, many things happening at the one time. But in the midst of his testimony, he said these words. He says, the Lord drew very near. He knew the Lord's nearness, the Lord's presence in a very special and a very particular way. Looking back after the trial was over, he said it was a time of rich blessing to my heart and a rich blessing to my soul. Child of God, in the trials and the valleys of life, pray. Pray for grace and wisdom to glorify the Lord. Pray, yes, that the Lord will draw near to you. And child of God, in the midst of the trials and the battles of life, you too will be able to witness and to say with the psalmist, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. We'll close our meeting this morning by singing together the hymn number 579. 579 in your hymn book. I will never, never leave thee. I will never leave, forsake. I will guard and save and keep thee for my name and mercy's sake. Great hymn of truth. Reminding us of what the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, is to his own redeemed people. We'll stand as we sing 579, thinking of the words as we sing them. Father and our God, we thank thee, Father, for thy presence. We thank thee for help given in the ministry of thy word. And take thy word, Lord, that which has been of thee, write it indelibly. Apply it effectually to all our hearts and lives as thy people. In the valleys of life and the trials of life, help us to prove thee. Help us to lean hard upon thee. Help us to look to thee, for thou art the one who is altogether sufficient for our every need. For any, Lord, in this meeting today, Lord, and they're not saved, they're still without God, still without Christ in this world, Lord, speak to them very especially today. And this day may be the day of their salvation. They're coming to Christ and been saved for time and all of eternity. Part us with your fear and favor. Give us traveling mercies to our homes. Bless us throughout this thy day. Return us again in thy will to the evening meeting tonight. For we ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen.